Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Welcome to Young Influentials, where we learn the what and why behind some of our favorite creators and industry execs. I'm your host, Colin Daniels, and today we have Viral Growth's Kazi, who's going to share the ins and outs of personal branding and what makes content go viral.
Kazi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Colin. How are you?
Good, good. Before we get started, I always like to start off with something fun. So can you tell me a little bit about some creators that you enjoyed watching or viewing in the past?
Yeah, man. Growing up, I was really into skateboarding. So I used to be a huge Tony Hawk fan. So I used to always like binge skateboarding videos all the time. And I've been a huge fan of like podcasters in the recent years as well. I love listening to Chris Williamson, Joe Rogan. I like listen to Hormozy. He's a really good guy to listen to. So those are kind of like the main ones I've been listening to right now.
Oh, wow. Were you like a big like YouTuber person? Like, did you have a favorite platform where you like to watch creators on, like Vine or like any of those in the past?
You know what? I actually liked Vine quite a lot when I was there. I think one of my favorite guys, man, I don't even remember the name of this guy, but I used to binge his videos. I know Logan Paul and those guys came in the Vine era. King Buck is the name of the guy.
Oh, I remember him. He had the best videos. He was so funny. Yeah, I loved his stuff.
His videos were hilarious. And I would always look at them. I was like, damn, you're so creative in every video you're doing. So I watched a lot of Vine. I think I didn't spend that much time on YouTube just because YouTube, I feel like I always went there for like educational content. Vine, I was just like scrolling and just hooked. Vine was TikTok before TikTok was TikTok.
Honestly, I hated and get to have like, I don't know if you remember, but it was like either like 2018, 2019, where they were like trying to bring it back and like it fell through. I was so mad.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if Vine played its cards right, they would have been like the multi-billion corporation TikTok is right now.
Honestly, man. No, I could go on that for a while. But to kind of move forward to get closer to like what we're talking about, like which is marketing, like did you study it or like how did you kind of start to learn a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so I actually didn't study marketing at all when I was going through school. So I went through school and I went to university. I did electrical engineering, actually. And then after that, I did software development. But while I was doing that, at my software development job, I kind of learned how important sales and marketing is. And then I started to do a little bit of sales there. And I started with sales. I learned sales. And then I understood the value of marketing. And then I started learning marketing on like, you know, how to bring in customers, how to talk to customers, how to resonate with the people in the market so they want to do business with you. So it was a transition from, you know, I bumped into sales and I was like, wow, sales is really amazing. Then I was like, okay, to have really good sales, you need to have really strong marketing. So I need to learn marketing. And that's when I started to learn, go deeper into the world of marketing, basically.
And I feel like you brought up a good point. Like, a lot of times people think like, oh, like, if I want to go into this field, like, I have to, like, everything has to be in, like, that area. And that's so not true. Like you said, like, you did engineering. And I feel like a lot of people sometimes don't realize that any skill that you do, sometimes skills that you do can be transferred to various fields. Like, just because you want to, say, go into, like, law and your degree was in art history or whatever, or something different, doesn't mean you can't do that. Like, to the world today, like, so many skills are transferable and can be applied to so many different things in so many different areas.
Yeah. And honestly, I think a really good way to think about that is it almost gives you, like, an advantage. So, like, when I put my engineering mind to, like, marketing, I'm thinking of it in a way that 90% of marketers aren't thinking of it, because they had a different way of thinking. And, you know, one thing if I've learned is, like, nothing you learn ever goes to waste. You might have learned something that you're wasting time. You thought you were wasting time like 5 years ago, but all of a sudden, next project you do, it's going to come in and give you 10 out of 10 experience, because you can bring that in, and basically you're wiser because of that. So it 100% helps. Like, whatever you learn, it always aggregates and benefits you down the line.
No, that's so true. And that's such a good mindset to keep in mind, where a lot of people are like, oh, I spent like 5 years at this job or 2 years doing this internship, and that has nothing to do with like what I'm doing. And like you said, like, nothing, like, whatever, something you did there, it has to be applied to like whatever you do next. Like, it's not just something that's going to just go out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I worked as a software developer for 3 years, right? I don't do any software development today, but whenever there's a technical issue, I know exactly what to look for, who to hire, so I can solve that problem faster than somebody who doesn't know that. So I could say like, oh, I just worked 3 years as a software developer, it's kind of like a waste. Or I can say like, hey, I can go build a SaaS if I want to down the road with my marketing skills and my software development skills. So like, nothing ever goes to waste, really.
No, So true. Drops mic, honestly. Like, that, like, that's the key for the conversation. But kind of fast forwarding to like now, like, you're at Viral Growth. Can you explain of like what that is and like what your current role is there?
Yeah. So I co-founded a company called Viral Growth. And what happened was that during, I want to say about four and a half years ago, there's this boom of short form content, right? So like, TikTok really came in the scene, Instagram launched Reels, YouTube just launched Shorts right recently. But those two main ones, TikTok and Instagram Reels, it has been around for a few years. So with what happened was that I identified in the market that there was this need for people to get out content more efficiently, effectively. They need to go viral. They need to get more eyeballs. And organic has become such a huge presence for everybody. Like, you, me, everybody, we spend a lot of time on social media, whether we like it or not. And we're going to consume content. It's going to be somebody's content. Whose content are we going to consume? The guy or girl that produces the best content. So I noticed that about 4.5 years ago. It's like, okay, there's this need in the market and nobody's serving it. So that's when we started building Viral Growth. And essentially, we're one of the first to do it, really. And it became a huge success because of that. So what we focus on is essentially just producing really high quality content that goes viral. That's our bread and butter.
And you brought up a good point too. Like, I feel like also just growing organically, like, I feel like maybe like back in like 2010, like when a lot of the platforms just started taking off, like, it was a lot easier. And I feel like that's also why a lot of people like TikTok, because the algorithm's a little bit different. But I feel like nowadays, like, regardless of anybody, whether you're a brand, celebrity, whatever, just like, growth organically is just a struggle. And a lot of times it's hard to kind of find like, okay, what is the key? What's the niche? And how do I keep getting in front of the right eyeballs?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I think platforms are ever changing. And a lot of the times, you know, our customers will come to us and be like, hey, I've been trying this for like months or years or whatever. I haven't been able to crack it. What is it? What's the issue? And I always say, like, look, the agreement between like the user and the platform has fundamentally changed. And the reason for that is, if you think about like 10 years ago, right, social media platforms, there was only like Facebook, really. And Twitter was like in its infancy. But Facebook had somewhat of a monopoly. MySpace was dead. So Facebook didn't need to compete with other platforms to get users to post content there. Users just knew Facebook. They just knew Instagram. But now it's so much more competitive amongst the platforms. You have Instagram, you have YouTube Shorts, you have Facebook, you have TikTok, you have like all these other ones that are coming up. So now the contract, invisible contract between the platform and the users have changed. What platforms are saying is like, hey, come to our platform. We'll give you more eyeballs, more impressions than that platform. All you have to do is produce good content. So that's why now it's ever more important and lucrative to do organic content, because platforms will promote you if your content is good. And that's, I think some people don't understand that part, that, you know, you're not just throwing it into the void. You're just trying to figure out what's working good that the platform likes, and the platform will give you the eyeballs that you deserve.
And you brought up a good point too. And I feel like that's why, like, speaking of just video, I feel like that's like also why a lot of the platforms are like trying to like up their editing tools, because a lot of people are now trying to like, you know, add the text and like add the cool special effects. And they're, if, when you're doing the editing and stuff outside of the platforms, they tend to like punish those videos. So I feel like that's also why they're trying to do these like programs, and like they have like the various creator programs and also the things to kind of incentivize like people to start creating natively on the platforms, because they're now taking up being like, oh, okay, like everybody's liking like these features or putting these things in the videos, like we need to start adding this type of content to that, to our platform, so people are more like enticed to want to create on there. And then both people win, you get your audience wider, and then their platforms are doing well because they're getting more users and more people wanting to create natively on their platform.
Yeah, exactly. And those tools are designed for you to be better. Like the platform wants you to succeed. And if you're using those tools, it'll be to your benefit. Facebook has them, Instagram has them. And the thing with the online world is two things dominate. New is always better, and what level of sophistication you're in, right? So if you look at it once again back when Facebook first started, it was all text. Everyone was posting statuses. Everyone was posting like long posts, short posts, whatever. Then it went to like images when Instagram came in. Everyone was posting photos. And then images, that kind of got sophisticated. People kind of got bored of it. And then it's going to went into video. And I believe we're still in, you know, one layer removed from infancy in videos. And videos are taking off. It's going to be around for a few years. And the short form video, eventually it will get saturated. But what the platforms do is they add on top of that. So with text, first they added like emotions, you know, just to make text, spice up text a little bit more. With images, they added in filters to make images more. So we have this new latest and greatest filter. With videos, that now you have like, you know, very variety of transitions, you have variety of things that make the video pop more. There's newer and newer things that these platforms are innovating to, one, attract more customers, two, retain more customers and make it engaging. They just want to keep people on the platform as much as they want.
Yeah, because I feel like now everybody's like you said, we're all like fighting for eyeballs, we're fighting for attention, and people are trying to constantly like test out things and be like, oh, maybe it's like my long form video, let me try that over here, or maybe it's my short form. So it's like you're not getting a consistent group of people on one particular platform. Like you said, like each few years something changes. Like I feel like we're now going back into the renaissance of like more long form. So like now all the short form platforms are like starting to extend the length. Like I remember when TikTok added the 3-minute mark, and now we're at the 10-minute mark, I believe. And then I don't know if Reels is extended, but I feel like now Reels and the others are now trying to be like, okay, now we got to like compete back to like people wanting to go longer and like more eyeball time and more watch time.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because Instagram used to have IGTV.
Oh, and yes.
That would be like hours long if you wanted to, I believe. And they recently degraded that, deprecated that. I don't know if they're going to bring that back. But I think what's happening is, it's really interesting because different platforms are in different states, right? TikTok was like all short form, and their problem was that they couldn't retain people long enough. Mm-hmm. YouTube was all long form. Their problem was they couldn't bring people fast enough. So YouTube added shorts, and then TikTok is going longer. So they're going the opposite way, but to their credit. But I think what will happen is all platforms will have like a mix of both. that's where it's all going to go to, because they're going to attract people with like the short. This is what we do with our clients, ironically, too. We attract, and the platforms do the same thing. They'll attract with the short form content, and then they'll funnel it into the long form content. I don't know if you noticed that on YouTube, when they first launched Shorts, you couldn't link a video in the Shorts. But now what all the smart creators we are doing as well is that the Shorts, you can link the actual video that you took the short out of. And now it's just easier because, you know, let's say you took a clip out of this podcast. Let's say you took the mic drop podcast, a mic drop clip, right? And then you said like, hey, if you want to watch more, watch this video with, you know, me and Cassie. And they just click it and then go directly. So I think YouTube really figured that out well. And I think that's going to work out really well for them in the long run.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You know, and you made me think of another point, too. Like, I feel like everybody's also not just trying to, like, fight for the eyeball moment, but also kind of find, like you said, that sweet spot. Like, everybody's like, oh, is it going to be the 10? Like, okay, like, if they're over here at the 10, like, what is something that we can do to help them, like, stay on longer, stay on shorter? And then also everybody's also just trying to just, like, fight for that retention and, like, keep the eyeballs on there and keep – because the thing with, like, TikTok is, like, it's, like, people are hardly on their For You page, so it's a different group of people, like, every day. So it's, like, you want to – what's the reason to, like, keep people coming back? And so I feel like that's also what people are trying to do whenever they're making videos, to be, like, oh, like, what is something – what's going to be my hook to keep people coming back to my channel, or keep me as the source of, like, music or whatever their niche is? And, like, for you all, like, what is something that you all do to, like, whenever you're – helping clients and people, like, what is something that you're, like, first doing to help them kind of not just create, like, a viral video, but something that is long-term that you're like, oh, like, this is how they're going to want to keep coming back more to, like, your videos or your content?
Yeah, great question. So we do a two-tier approach for this. The first one, I'll go into content. The second one, I'll go into the platforms itself, because it really varies on the strategy on different platforms. First thing is, we usually divide our content into splits, whether it be a 40-40-20 split, whether it be a 50-50 split or 60-40 split. But essentially what we're trying to do is, a part of it is entertainment based. This is like the majority of it, where we can get the most amount of eyeballs. This is not like dancing on the camera. This is more like, what is something that is mass appeal that everybody can relate to and get me eyeballs? This is where you cast a wide net, right? And then what we want to do is, once we have those eyeballs, let's say you have a viral video, right? One of our clients, his video did 30 million views last week, one video, right? And it was a wide net video. It was entertainment based. But what we infused in there is that we let the audience know, just in a sprinkle in there, is like, hey, check out my channel. I have a lot more educational stuff on this topic. So that's when they go into the channel and then they see the educational videos. that they feel like, okay, this guy knows his stuff. This girl knows his, knows her stuff. They know what to talk about. They know what it is. I'm going to give this person the follow because I'm interested in this topic. So what you did was you casted a wide net, maybe 20%, maybe 30% of those people go into your account. They check out all the educational video. But because you had those educational videos, they'll trust you and they'll give you that follow. They'll give you that subscription. So having that content split is super important, because if you're just constantly doing entertainment videos, people are not going to take you seriously. They're not going to become buyers. They're going to essentially become like, you know, someone that just, you see those meme pages that you check out. Have you ever bought anything from them? You never bought anything, right? So you essentially become a meme when you're just too much on entertainment. And if you don't showcase your value, they're not going to think of you as a thought leader. They're not going to think of you as an authority. They're not going to think of you as somebody that they can buy from. So once you have those two dialed in, and it's a balance, really. It's like more art than science. You might have some clients that are working really good with a 60-40 split. Some clients are working really good with a 40-60 split. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the platforms. Each platform is extremely different in the way that it approaches viewership, in the way that it approaches subscriptions or followings. If you look at it, if you post a video, right, that same video could get 5 million views on Instagram, but it could get 25 million views on TikTok. There's a few reasons for that. One is TikTok counts a view as 1 second. Instagram Reels counts a view as 3 seconds. So if you watch a video for 3 seconds, it counts as a video. TikTok, if you just scroll it, you give it 1 second, it counts as a video, right? Another thing is, on TikTok, your default is your For You page, right? And it's not the people that you're following. It's random people that in the algorithm decides. So what does that tell us? That tells us the value of a follower on TikTok isn't as important as the value of a follower on Instagram. Because Instagram, you get followers, you retain followers, and you can remarket to your followers organically. On TikTok, it's a little bit less. TikTok, you're fighting with the For You page. So you're looking to get viral videos up. You're trying to get as many eyeballs as you can and then funnel them to somewhere like Instagram, or funnel them into somewhere like Facebook or Telegram or whatever channel you want to go to. So to go summarize a two-tiered approach, one is the content and the second is the actual content, the platform itself. Because you want to make sure you're extracting the best thing. You want to extract the views out of TikTok. You want to send them to Instagram to retain it. And then you want to funnel them into YouTube long form to really have, like, I don't know, a sales call booked or a purchase or anything like that. So that's like the variety of things you can do to make sure that, you know, you're capitalizing on the platforms and you're capitalizing on the content. Long-winded answer, but hopefully that gives you
an answer. No, but you brought up a good point, because I feel like that's something a lot of people have, like, a lot of times they forget, especially when they're like, oh, I want to grow on TikTok. It's like, you are competing with the For You page. So whenever your video comes up, you have to have a way, kind of like a hook or something, to make them like actually go look for your content. So it's like more, it's a little bit more bigger step approach, because it's like, okay, why would I just go to this person and look at their lifestyle content when I can just like keep scrolling my feed? That's going to just bring other followers to that, versus like on like Instagram and YouTube, the videos and stuff on there that come up first are going to be the ones that you're subscribed to. So it's a little bit different. So I feel like that's something a lot of people, whenever they're making videos for TikTok, they have to like realize and just like make sure they put in all their things, like a call to action to be like, oh, for more lifestyle or for more nature type videos, like check out my page or that. Cause that's such a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you an interesting story. One of our clients, he's one of my favorite clients, actually. He's a very, very good Hollywood producer. And he's been in the industry for a while. And we had this issue with him. This was like almost 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And we would get a massive amount of views for him. And we just couldn't convert those to followers for like a good few weeks, like 3-4 weeks. We'd get like 5 million, 3 million, 6 million views, but his following wasn't going up. And then we looked into it and we're like, okay, where are we giving the call to action? Like, where are we telling them to do what we want them to do? Like follow us or subscribe to us or learn more about us. And we noticed that we were doing it in the first 40% of the video length. And these people were not ready to follow at that moment. And what we did was we moved the call to action. Instead of a very hard call to action, we just sprinkled it at the end. It's like, hey, by the way, I create a lot of content about how to get into Hollywood. There's this video you can check out for more. Something along those lines. And as it went overnight, his following shot up. So having the right call to action in almost every single video is crucial, because you never know which video is going to take off. You might have one video that goes to 10 million, and it will, I don't mean to exaggerate, that it could potentially change your life. And that's the way we've always approached every single video.
And just to like kind of flesh that one out. So are you saying like, depending on like where that call to action is in the video kind of determines it? Or like, are you saying just making sure that like you mention that in the video?
Yeah, I think both. So it matters in terms of where the call to action is, because if you think about it from a consumer's point of view, it's giving and asking, right? So if you're giving them value and then you're asking them, it just matters how far into the giving you are asking them the value. If it's like, hey, follow me for more, and then you give the value, people are going to be like, this guy's asking me for stuff. He hasn't even like helped me out or anything like that. But then there's a flip side to it. A lot of people might not watch until the end of the video. They might go to 60%. So there's that sweet spot that you want to constantly A-B test and figure out where it is. And then the other thing is consistently having a CTA is always good, because like I said, you might have that one video that goes viral, changes your life.
No, because that's so true. Because when you said that, it made me think of a lot of the YouTubers and creators that are following. They'll mention that like call to action, be like, hey, don't forget to hit the bell or the subscribe button there, because I'm going to be posting more. If you like these types of hauls, I did an Amazon one with over 500 products, and then they'll put that there. And then usually, like, because you know what, some of those like longer videos, people like tune out, like you said, like various marks. And so by them usually mentioning that in that first like 2 minutes, usually like regardless if you finish that video or not, you're kind of still staying on their context. You're like, oh, let me check this out. Let me like go over here. Let me see that. So that's so key and so important to like make sure you mention that. Because if you just say like, oh, follow me for more, like for more what? Like,
yeah.
What is it on here I'm going to like actually enjoy?
Exactly. You need to tell them what to do and then why to do it too. Like, you know, follow me for more of what? Not only that, you know, in marketing, there's a feature in the benefit stuff, right? Like I can sell a chair to you and be like, hey, there's four legs. It's made out of wood and leather, all that good stuff. Or I could just say like, this is designed in a way that will heal your back pain within 7 days. That's the benefit. With videos, there's that too. You know, I can say like, hey, Colin, follow my channel. And then I can say, follow my channel because I post regular tips on how to get more views on podcasts without posting 100 times a week. That is way more inciting because, you know, you just conveys the value directly.
Yeah, because if you're just like, oh, just follow, people would be like, okay, there's a million other like lifestyle surfer, skater, like, why are you different? It's like, why are you different?
Exactly.
And then like, just for like, to kind of wrap us up for people who are listening for like, oh, like, this is cool, like, love what you guys do. Like, what advice would you give to creators that are listening? They're like, I want to start making video content to kind of get out of that like meme, because there's so many who like you say, well, create like office memes or corporate memes that might be like, oh, but I actually want to start sharing value about like work ethics, how to dress proper, and like just branching out to more of the educational front. Like, what advice would you give to those who want to kind of get out of that like meme niche and kind of like share education?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, the best way to say it is like, if I'm understanding, you're saying that these guys already have viewership coming in, but they're more in the lifestyle area. Yeah. They don't know how to position it to monetizing. Mm-hmm. So the best way to look at it is, okay, what type of audience do I have? You know, is my audience people who want to learn how to be better at Microsoft Excel? Or is my audience on how to find the best new phone app for productivity? What is my audience like, right? And do I have a skill that intersects with that audience? So let's take an example, right? Let's say I have a really good channel where I post podcast clips. Now, I'm into podcasting. The people that look into this are also into podcasting. So I could probably figure out something educational. So what I would do is I would sprinkle it in. I would start with something like review videos. I was like, hey, here's a podcast that went viral. And this is why I think it went viral. And then I keep doing that. I'll see if that hits. Next iteration I would go in is like, hey, here's the basics on how to make a podcast within the shortest amount of time. Next iteration, I'd keep on iterating, and I'd keep that audience that comes in with the entertainment stuff, but I would sprinkle in education more and more, and then people will start to trust you more and more and more. And then eventually there will be a point where you'll kind of get a gauge for the market that they're asking you questions. As soon as that happens, you know that people are looking at you as an authority. In your comments, you'll see like, you know, what do I need to do podcasts? How did you get started? What mic are you using? What headphone are you using? How often do you do podcasts? You'll see questions like this come in, and that's when you know you struck something in the market that you can monetize to. And then what's preventing you from there to have a digital product that shows you blueprint to a podcast on how to make the perfect podcast, or you have a referral link with Amazon products that these are the perfect ones for podcasts. So you see how you can go mm-hmm. from just like a meme account to like educational, and then you can monetize.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true. That's so true.
And the other thing is, everyone needs to understand that they're in the game of longevity with these videos. They want to look at it for how long they can sustain the videos. So they want to produce content as much as they can, as frequently as they can, as consistently as they can. Don't get demoralized if you're getting views, but you're not getting sales, or if you're posting, mm-hmm. you're not getting views. It's part of the game. Everybody goes through that. Like, you know, we had one client that we literally posted for 3 months straight. 3 months straight, we couldn't break 10,000 followers within 3 months. The fourth month, I think we went to 450,000 followers. So it you know, nothing happens and then all of it happens at once. Mm-hmm. That's so true for these type of things. So don't get demoralized. Stick to it. Make sure you're putting in the reps, and then you'll be able to get there.
No, that's so true, because a lot of times, like, people will post something and they're like, within the first hour, they're like, oh, I only got like 20 views. And I've even had that happen to mine for videos where I'm like, oh, like, this isn't taking off. This is stupid. And then, like, I'll come back and I'm like, how did I get like a million? Like, what? How did that happen? And I feel like that's so true. Like, you can't just, if you're just doing it for the views and you're not actually doing it because you enjoy it, algorithms and stuff changes, and that you're going to burn out quickly. So it's like, if you're passionate about it, if you truly believe what you're doing, you have to just keep going. And like you said, you have to test stuff out. Like, some stuff's going to work, some stuff's not. And you just have to give yourself that patience and that margin to like see what works, see what takes off, and see what's going to stick.
Yeah. And you also want to just look at it in terms of what's the upside, right? Let's say you post for a year straight, you don't get anything. And then after that, you hit it big. Okay. If you get, I don't know, 1 million followers, you could probably cash flow that significantly more than you could possibly dream about. So posting and not getting results for 1 year is worth it, because the upside is so huge. Like, I'm sure we all know, like, Mr. Beast, MKBHD on YouTube. Like, Mr. Beast, I think he said he posted like 1,000 videos or 100, don't quote me on the number, but some ridiculous amount, and he didn't get any views. And MKBHD said like he didn't even have like 100 subscribers after his first 100 videos. And these guys, they're the best in the world at what they're doing right now. So they started from there. There's no reason you can't.
No, that's so true. Like, the algorithms and platforms are weird. So it's like, some stuff's going to take off. It might be longer, it might be shorter. Like, you just can't get bogged down into that. You just have to like be your biggest cheerleader and just keep going.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for joining us and giving us all this wisdom, all these gems to use.
These are all the hard sleepless nights that we've spent at Viral Growth trying to understand why something happens. So like, these are things that are battle tested. They're designed to like actually help people to get started. So, you know, hopefully people puts this into use.
Wow, how great was this episode? If you were like me, you probably took a lot of notes and have a lot of questions and comments. So if you do, feel free to add us at Adweek across Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you all. And feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps us. And we can't wait to hear from you all and see you in the next episode. So bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Young Influentials, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network.
This podcast was produced by Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Arend, and edited by Lane McGibney at Bountiful Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.